Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee again tonight for the privilege and joy that's ours to come into Thy presence. We ask, O God, that tonight You'll be pleased to come, be one of our number. And Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon us, we pray. Lord, give us a good time, a blessed time in God's house tonight. Lord, as we would sing Thy praise. Lord, as we listen to the messages and song. Lord, as we come around the Word of God and the Gospel for tonight. Do our hearts good, we pray. And Lord, we pray that this evening Thy presence might be felt in this place. So be with us, continue with us now. Give help in the Savior's name, we ask all of these things. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 366. 366, the page 324. The words will be on the screen as well. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found, but to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. 366, and we'll stand as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's stand and sing. Let's come before the Lord again, please, in prayer, and let's seek His help and His presence with us tonight in our gospel meeting. Our Father and our God in heaven, this evening we thank Thee, Lord, for that fountain that has been opened in the house of David for sin and for all uncleanness. We thank the Lord tonight that as we approach Thee, we do so on the grounds of the blood of Jesus Christ, His merits, His righteousness. Lord, nothing in our hands we bring, simply to Thy cross we cling. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for the one, Lord, who is the water of life to our souls. Lord, we, thirsty sinner, could find no satisfaction in the things of this world. Lord, those broken cisterns of this old world, Lord, they failed us time and time again. But, O God, we thank Thee tonight that in Christ we have a fullness and a sufficiency. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that He has satisfied our longing souls. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that we are satisfied with Him. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that the Father is satisfied with the work of Christ there upon the cross. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening for each one in this meeting who by faith have come, Lord, to the foot of the old rugged cross. Lord, there they laid down their sin. And Lord, there they found forgiveness from their sin. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening that it is all because of Calvary that we can come before Thee tonight. And our Father, we pray that You'd be pleased to come and bless our coming together. Meet with us this evening, we pray. O Lord, do our hearts good, we ask. Lord, we pray that tonight that we might be very conscious that God is here. Lord, may we know, Lord, with a real assurance, Lord, that the Spirit of God is taking control of this meeting. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, we pray. O God, we pray that we might be very conscious, Lord, even of the presence of the living God amongst us tonight. We thank the Lord You've said that where the two or three are gathered in Thy name, there Thou art in the midst. Lord, come, be in the midst of Thy church tonight, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this evening, Lord, as the Word of God is brought, as the messages and song are brought, our Father, we pray that tonight You'll help us to lift high, Lord, our Savior. You've said, I have I be lifted up, will draw all men unto Me. And our Father, we pray that tonight You'll be pleased to draw sinners to Thyself. O God, we pray that You'll draw the believer to the cross tonight. O God, we pray that we might sit beneath the shadow of the cross. And there, Lord, we will find the One who is, Lord, the sweetest and the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. O God, we thank Thee tonight that in a world, Lord, that is ravaged and ruined by sin, we thank Thee, O God, that in Christ there is sweetness, there is fullness, there is, Lord, everything that our soul desires. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, Lord, as, Lord, those in this meeting who are saved, how, Lord, have been brought to that place to see the beauty of Christ, Lord, may others come to Jesus Christ tonight and find in Him their all in all. Bless, Lord, tonight in this meeting. Bless every part of it, Lord, every aspect of it. May Thy name be glorified and honored. We ask, O God, that tonight You'll remember Catherine, Lord, and Ruth as they would minister to us. We thank Thee for them. We thank the Lord for traveling mercies given to them tonight. We ask, O God, that You'll just bless them tonight as they would minister to us in song. May they, Lord, know the help of the Spirit. Lord, may they feel entirely at home amongst us here in Sandown tonight and know the blessing of the Lord being upon them. Encourage them and bless them, Lord, not only tonight, but, Lord, as they seek to, Lord, sing for Thee, minister the gospel in song. Lord, bless their messages in song. Bless us around the Word of God. O God, we pray that tonight You will be pleased to come. And Lord, by the Spirit of the living God, take Thy Word and apply it to our hearts tonight, we ask. And so, our Father, we just look to Thee. Give the increase this evening, we pray. Lord, we pray that You'll remember us for good, Lord, even as we would, Lord, commence these special seasons of prayer. Meet with us tonight, Lord, as we would gather, Lord, for a little time after the meeting tonight, to pray specifically, Lord, for God's work here and, Lord, for this community. We pray, Lord, that tonight You would be pleased to come amongst us. Lord, we who are the people of God, Lord, set us a praying, we pray. Give us, Lord, that desire to pray on and to pray through. And Lord, even despite the difficulties and the hardness, the indifference, Lord, that there is around us, Lord, help us, Lord, to intercede, Lord, on behalf of this area. And so, our Father, we pray You'll bless the going forth of Thy Word across our city tonight. Remember, Lord, Belfast this evening. Oh God, we pray it's given over to sin and wickedness and, Lord, all sorts of evil. But, oh God, we pray that tonight You'll drive back the forces of hell. Lord, raise that standard for truth and for righteousness. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You would be pleased to do a new thing in our capital city and across our province and across our nation at this time. Oh God, we pray that these islands, Lord, will resound once again with, Lord, that sound of abundance of rain. Come, we pray, pour out Your Spirit upon us and do our hearts good, we ask of Thee tonight. In the Savior's name we pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. It's our privilege tonight to welcome Catherine and Ruth back with us to Sandown. You're both very, very welcome. Thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate your help this evening in the gospel meeting. I'm going to ask you to come and minister to us just at this stage. Thank you.
In shady green pastures, so rich. and so sweet. God leads his dear children along where the waters cool flow. Bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, and evils oppose. God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great
There's a call ringing out on the wings of the storm that is sweeping the lost to their doom. 'Tis the call of the Lord of the harvest of men, idle hands. Saints.
Catherine and Ruth, thank you so much for your messages and song tonight, sung so beautifully and so ably tonight, but especially that last piece, what a challenge, what a challenge. We only have one life, and it's only what's done for Jesus will last. We're not going to stand before the Lord to give an account of even what we've done in relation to our family, our business, our neighbours, what we've done for the Lord. It's all that matters to him tonight. And so let's take to heart all that we've heard this evening, been reminded that we are saved through the blood, by the blood. But because of that, then there are responsibilities laid upon us to go and serve the one who gave his life for us. And may it not be that we will offer the Savior idle hands on that day that we stand before him. Thank you so much for your message and song. Really, really blessed by them. Pray the Lord bless you. We'll hear from you in just a wee moment's time as well. Can I, at this stage, welcome you all along tonight. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord. And to you all, we give that special welcome. An unpleasant night it has turned out, but we're glad that you made the effort to be here. And thank you for coming and joining with us in this gospel meeting. Also to those who are watching online as well, we welcome you tonight. We meet for a time of prayer again after the meeting tonight, and if you can join with us for that season afterwards, we'll meet down here on the ground floor of the church after the gospel service is finished for further seasons of prayer. And so I trust that you'll be able to join with us as we petition the Lord and seek the Lord on behalf of the work of God here. So straight after the gospel meeting tonight, we'll have that time of prayer. And then those special seasons of prayer will continue into the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, each night at 8 o'clock. And I trust that you'll be able to join with us, set these times aside. These are evil days, wicked days, sinful days. And so they must be days when the people of God will come together and pray. And so I trust you'll join with us Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week, each night at 8 o'clock. Also on Tuesday night, we have the Explorers Bible Club for the boys and girls at 6:30 here in the church. Friday night will be the monthly presbytery meeting at 8. Next Sunday, all the services at the normal times. We have our Sunday school and our Bible class 10:15 in the morning, and then 11:30 and 6:30 with both the seasons of prayer before those meetings. And then also, to remember, our outreach Sunday school in Redburn Community Centre next Sunday afternoon at 2:30. I'll be here to preach, God willing, and all the meetings, and also our brother Nathan Crozier will be here to sing. Next Lord's Day evening, we'll meet around the Lord's table after the gospel meeting. The offering for our brother Colin Maxwell has come out £384. Thank you for that. And again, if anyone wasn't able to be out on Tuesday night, but you'd like to support that work, then do see Richard or William, please. Do continue to remember all those who need our prayers, and many who are unwell in the congregation at this time, and pray for them, and pray that the Lord would touch them, and that the Lord would heal them, and restore them back to that desired health and strength. Do remember our family service, our next family service, on Sunday night, the 12th of February, God willing, and our brother, the Reverend Ronnie McCracken, will be here to bring a word of testimony. Looking forward to having our brother with us. Do remember the offering boxes available there as you leave for your tithes and for your offerings. Make all of these announcements, of course, as always, subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn at this stage. It's the hymn number 305. Hymn number 305, "While your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?" 305. We'll stand as we sing this hymn, please. going to ask Catherine and Ruth if they'd come and sing for us again, please. The Lord bless you.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship.
Catherine and Ruth, thank you both again tonight for being with us. Really appreciate your help this evening, and we've been blessed, really blessed by your ministry and song, and pray the Lord will bless you both as you seek to continue to serve him. We're turning this evening in the Word of God tonight to the New Testament, into the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, we want to read the second half of that chapter together, verse 9 through to the end of the chapter, as we consider tonight the subject in the gospel of the soul's only anchor. Hebrews chapter 6, And we will read from verse 9 down to the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, we read, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, which, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Verse 19, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul." Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we come to the gospel for tonight. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee already for a sense of thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for help given to Catherine and to Ruth as they've ministered to us in song. We thank thee, Lord, for the blessing, Lord, that has been to our souls and the challenge as well. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be pleased to speak all. And Lord, we realize tonight that without the Savior, we're nothing. We can do nothing. And oh God, we pray that tonight in this meeting, those who are without Christ, may they realize that if they die without him, they'd be lost in hell for all eternity. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you would be pleased to speak. And Lord, that tonight sinners will come to put their faith, their trust in the only anchor, that who is Christ Jesus. Oh God, we pray that tonight you'll give help in the preaching, give help in the hearing. And Lord, may the Spirit of God open hearts tonight, we pray. Oh God, come amongst us and pour your presence out upon us, we pray. And Lord, we pray that tonight in this place, Lord, a highway will be made for the preaching of the glorious gospel. Give us help, oh God, we pray, to make much of our Savior tonight, to point men and women to the only Savior of sinners. Hear and answer prayer. Continue with us now. We ask all of these things in thy name and for thine honor and glory alone. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is referred in Scripture by many and different terms and titles. And often those terms or titles that are used to describe himself are terms that everybody would be familiar with. Because when Christ spoke, everyone was able to relate to what he was saying. And when he spoke especially about himself and described himself in terms or different titles, everyone would have been able to understand what he meant. You know how that he described himself as the bread of life. And who doesn't know what bread is, either in Bible times or in our times? He referred to himself as the door into the sheepfold, a common thing. Everybody would fully understand what a door is and what a door would be used for, to get from one place into another. He described himself as the light of the world, and we all know what light is, what light does. He described himself as the good shepherd. All of these expressions, all of these terms, all of these titles which the Lord used to describe himself we're most familiar and parts of everyday life for everybody. And in our Bible reading tonight, another expression, another term, another title is used here of Christ to describe himself. And here in verse 19, he's described as an anchor. An anchor. An anchor, of course, which secures and steadies the ship or the boat in a fixed position for a fixed period of time. And he's described tonight not only as an anchor, but an anchor of the soul. For all who will by faith lay hold, as we read in verse 18, who have fled to Christ for refuge and lay hold of Christ, there is in him an anchor and there is in him a hope. You see, what the Apostle Paul is bringing before us here in verse 19 and indeed in these other verses is that Christ is the only anchor. The ship's anchor, of course, dates back many centuries. It is the Greeks who claim to have taken hold of the anchor and made it into what it is today in the nautical world. And being an island, they would have known the importance of shipping and the need to steady the ship either in port or harbor or out in the middle of the sea. I'm told that the first anchors that were used were buckets laid down from the sides of the ship laden with stones that were heavy. And then, of course, we come today into more modern times and we know the anchor, the common place that the anchor has. That large piece of metal, two hooks on the either end, that were used to keep the boat in place. Anchors became vital and still are vital in boats and ships throughout the world. Yet tonight I'm not talking about the ship's anchor. I'm talking about the soul's anchor. And tonight in this gospel meeting, I want to bring before you the one who is the only hope, the only anchor for your soul. Paul, when he was writing this letter to the Hebrew believers, was writing to a people who had come out of religion. Writing to a people who had come out of all the ceremonies of Judaism. And you know, tonight, whenever we think about that, surely we have the same in Protestant Ulster tonight. Because just as many were placing their hope and their anchor in religion, in ceremonies, there are many tonight in this area, many tonight in our city, many tonight in our country, and they're placing their hope in a religion or even in a church. But Paul is not speaking here about a religion. Paul is not speaking here tonight about a church. Paul is speaking this evening about Jesus, who he identifies there in verse 20 as the only anchor for your soul. All other anchors will drift, but Christ is the only anchor that will steady your soul and save your soul. If you're in this meeting tonight without Christ, then your anchor tonight will drift. Your anchor tonight is in the wrong place and you're looking in the wrong place. Oh, tonight you need to turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only anchor for your soul. Let's consider, therefore, tonight some things about the soul's only anchor. Very simply, this evening, I want us to consider the character of the anchor. The character of the anchor. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. In verse 18, he speaks about the hope that is set before us. In verse 19, again, that hope which we have. Here's the hope of the gospel. It is the hope that we have, but where is that hope? Well, it is identified for us in verse 20 as in Jesus. He is the hope for the soul tonight. Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and 1, he said, Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And whenever the scriptures speak about hope, they're not just talking about some sort of flimsy, whimsical notion, some desire that people have, well, I hope this works out. No, he's talking about something that is sure, and we'll come on to that. The hope that is talked about there in verse 18 and verse 19, the anchor of the soul is Christ. He's our anchor within the veil, as we read in verse 19. And as we've said, the anchor is used to secure the ship, particularly in times of storm, and to prevent the ship from drifting. And you cannot move the ship's anchor. It's grounded in the earth beneath the waters, and it steadies the ship. And so it is with Christ. You see, tonight, for all who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he saves your soul, but he also secures the soul. Many are placing their faith, their trust tonight in things that will bring no lasting security. And sadly, tonight many have an anchor that will drift and lead them to a lost eternity in hell. But not so with the soul's only anchor, that being Christ. As we consider the character of the anchor, notice its position. The anchor is joined to the ship. What a wonderful truth that is. What a wonderful gospel truth that is. You see, tonight, for all who would leave their sin and come to Jesus Christ and turn away from their sin and by faith receive him, you can be joined to Christ. You can be in union with him. That line that connects the sinner to the Savior, what is it? Well, it's faith. You look at verse 18, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope. There's faith. Saving faith, real faith. This is not some sort of abstract faith in anything or in anyone. This is faith in Christ. And what is it tonight that connects the sinner to the Savior? What is it tonight that connects the repentant sinner who leaves their sin and flees to Christ for refuge? It's faith. Faith. Faith in Christ, too, has entered within the veil, as we read in verse 19. Right into heaven. Christ who left heaven. Christ who came into this world, who lived a perfect life, and on the cross died the atoning death, and then ascended back into the Father's right hand in glory. It is faith in him and all that he has done. Paul talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory, in Colossians chapter 1. Christ tonight, who is in glory, is in heaven, and you can put your faith and trust in him. You name any religion tonight. You name any false religion tonight, and all other religions are false. You think of all the cults tonight. You think of their leaders tonight. Where are they? They're all in their grave. And they're all dead. But Jesus Christ not only died but lives again. And in heaven this evening, he is your soul's only anchor. The position of the anchor, but notice as well the power of the anchor. The anchor is strong enough, is able enough, to bring you to where he is. Therefore, the use of the anchor as a figure of Christ shows us Christ's power. His power to save. Many tonight are willing to make your life better. Many tonight are willing to save your soul. You will perhaps have had at some stage the Mormons, the JWs, and the other false religions at your door, they want to help you. But they're not able to. They want to make your life better, but they're not able to. Only Jesus Christ can save your soul. He's not only willing, but he is able. Verse 18, notice the words, sure and steadfast. They mean certain and firm. The Lord not only saves, but he also keeps. Many people will say to you tonight, I would love to be saved. I'd love to have your faith, but I just couldn't keep it. And you know what? You're exactly right. You couldn't keep your faith. I can't keep my faith, but we don't keep our faith. He keeps you tonight. You place your faith and trust in him, he keeps you. This is a power outside of ourselves. You think whenever you come to Jesus Christ, well, if I were to fail and I were to let him down, even as we were thinking upon this morning, well, then we forfeited our right to heaven. Whom the Lord saves, he keeps, and one day will bring to heaven. That's the power of the anchor. That's the power of Christ tonight. You can trust him. You can depend upon him. The use of the anchor here shows us that the one who is saved and resting in Christ can never be lost. Never lost. Oh, in the midst of this wicked and perverse world, a world void of hope, tonight here's real hope. Here's true hope. We see as well the pull of the anchor. The anchor then pulls the ship right into the harbor. Once the voyage is over, the ship is then secured within the harbor. You know, Christ is the anchor of our soul. One day will bring every one of his people home to glory. Christ has gone within the veil, as we read in verse 19. And for all who flee to Christ, lay hold of Christ, will one day be where he is too. That's the pull of the anchor. And he's gone back to heaven with the intention that all who place their faith and trust in him will be in heaven with him. Sinner, tonight you leave your sin and you come to Jesus Christ. He forgives your sin. He makes you a new creature in Christ, and he will bring you one day safely home. Before we leave this point, let me ask you this evening, where are you headed? Where is your final destination? Where is that anchor of your soul taking you tonight? Is it taking you to hell? Have you anchored your soul in the things of this world, in your uprightness and your morality? Or have you anchored your faith and your hope in Christ? One day will lead you home to glory. There's the character of the anchor. I want us to see as well the certainty of the anchor. Verse 20 talks about the forerunner is for us center. There's words of certainty. There's words of security. There's words of assurance tonight. Not only is he our soul's anchor, but he is our forerunner. Now, the forerunner in Scripture would have been a well-known term, perhaps not well-known in our days, but certainly well-known in Bible times. The word forerunner signifies one who would have went on ahead, gone before. In Greek literature, the forerunner was used to describe one who went on ahead with the message. When the word forerunner here is used of Christ, it signifies that he has gone ahead with the message, that he has gained acceptance. Right into the throne room of heaven, he brings a message. What is that message? It's a message of declaration. You see, Christ tonight, as our forerunner, has entered into heaven with a message of victory. That the battle has been fought and the battle has been won. He carried the news that the success of the redemption's plan has been completed. He declared that victory was secure. And tonight Christ has entered within the veil to declare to his Father and to show to his Father that victory has been secured. Victory has been secured by his atoning work on the cross of Calvary, by the precious blood that was shed. You think of that great shout of victory of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, it is finished. Oh, what a sound that was to those around the cross that day, but they didn't fully understand what it meant. But I tell you what a sound it meant in heaven. God the Father, who sent his Son into this world to be our Savior, he heard that shout of declaration from the cross and from the lips of his Son. It is finished. What an announcement tonight. Sin's debt has been paid. Its guilt has been removed. And provision for the guilty sinner has been accomplished. The sinner's calling, their justification, their cleansing, their redemption, their sanctification, and their glorification. It has all been attained. All been attained. Sinner, this evening, you can trust Jesus Christ because he has gone before to declare his work is accepted. This is not a hope-so faith tonight. This is not something, well, I hope it'll work out. It has already been accomplished through what Jesus Christ done there on the cross. Christ is our forerunner by the declaration that he made. It is finished. You can trust him tonight. I'm not asking you tonight to come to church. I'm not asking you tonight to come to a religion. I'm not asking you tonight to turn over a new leaf. I'm asking you tonight to come to Christ because you can trust him. Christ is our forerunner as well by way of occupation. Notice in verse 20, for us. That brings before us the substitutionary work of Christ there on the cross. Oh, sinner, he took your place. He paid your debt. He satisfied the broken law that you could never satisfy. He endured the penalty for sin, which was death for us. And he's entered within the veil in the name and for the sake of the repentant sinner, for those who will trust in him. Do the wonderful thing this evening tonight. Wonderful thought for every child of God. Christ has gone to heaven not to be there alone. Christ has returned to heaven so that all who will trust him will be with him. He's not there in heaven for his sake and his sake alone, not to be there in isolation, but with the distinct purpose of bringing every repentant, believing sinner home to glory too. Peter talks about that inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, one that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Let me ask you tonight, what do you have to look forward to? I'm not asking you tonight, what do you have to look forward to in the week ahead? Maybe you have a hard week at work and you're not really looking forward to it. Maybe there are things you have to do and you're not really looking forward to it. No, what do you have to look forward to when this life is over? What do you have to look forward to? There's only two ways you can answer that. You've either hell to look forward to, or you've heaven. Hell or heaven. So what is it tonight you're looking forward to? That reprobate Joel Osteen wrote that book, Your Best Life Now. If you've never heard of Joel Osteen, you've never heard of the book, you should thank God for that. Sinner, tonight, If you have not yet come to Jesus Christ, then this is your best life now. Because the life that you will live in hell will be anything, anything but pleasant. You read Luke chapter 16. You read of a man who was in torments, a man who was in agony. He wasn't living his best life then. Oh, he lived it on earth. And sinner, this evening, you reject Jesus Christ, you die rejecting him, and you die in your sin, you will be lost in hell. What do you have to look forward to? Thank God tonight for all those who come to Jesus Christ, who flee to him for refuge and have laid hold upon the hope which is set before us. We've heaven to look forward to, and the glories and the splendors of that place. There's the character of this anchor, the certainty of this anchor, but notice as we close, there's the confirmation of this anchor. Verse 20, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, made an high priest forever. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will never be disappointed, you will never be let down. I've heard people say, well, if I were to get saved, I'd have to give this up and I'd have to give that up. You wouldn't worry about giving things up for the Lord. Because whenever you have Jesus Christ, you have all that you need. You come to Jesus Christ tonight, you'll have a friend who will never fail you. You will have one who, as in verse 20, who is our great high priest, that means that he's praying for you, will pray for you. One who'll care for you. One who'll protect you. One who'll provide for you throughout life. Christ is our great high priest. Confirmation of our salvation. We come back to that point we made a few moments ago tonight. You're not depending on yourself. You're not looking to yourself. You look to Christ. Christ offered himself a sacrifice for sin. And tonight he is our great high priest who will forgive your sin and bring you peace with God. His work as our great high priest at Calvary was completed, finished work. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. We read later on in this book. You don't have to keep working at it. You don't have to keep trying. As we've often said, the only work you need for salvation is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. This evening, Jesus Christ is confirmed as your only anchor, as your only Savior, as your only Redeemer. When he rose on the third day over sin, death, and hell, and when he ascended back to his Father in glory, his role, his work as our Redeemer is confirmed. And tonight you can trust him. Christ is the soul's only anchor. He's all you need, but more than that, he's what you need. Will you this evening, like those that are referred to in verse 18, will you flee tonight to Christ for refuge? And will you lay hold upon him this evening? Fleeing to Christ, what's that? That's repentance. That's leaving your sin. And laying hold of hope, what's that? That's faith. Repentance and faith. Oh, that you would come this evening, leave your sin and run to Jesus Christ and trust him this evening. He'll save your soul. Do you have an anchor tonight that keeps the soul? Steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Do you have one that's fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love? Do you have that tonight? Where is your hope this evening? Where is your hope? Oh, that tonight you would run to Jesus Christ and find in Him all that you need. Maybe your soul tonight is anchored in the things of this world. Anchored in what you can do. Anchored in what you have done. And you think that'll be enough. No, it'll not be enough. Because if that's what you're trusting upon when it comes your time to die, that anchor will cause you to drift to hell for all eternity. Come to Christ tonight. Flee to Him as the only refuge for your soul. Trust Him. And lay hold upon Him who is your soul's only anchor. Will you come to Him tonight? Will you seek Him tonight? Will you call upon Him tonight? Let's bow in prayer. And as we close, before we sing our final hymn,